Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings. And none have been more confounding than what they call the different strokes effect.
Get it?
Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model strutting, goldfish-loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
It takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. At the top of the show, we played David Guetta and Jennifer Hudson, Night of Your Life.
Now, Jade, something very exciting happened to you over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You basically ushered in a new member to the family.
Yes, Dave. My girlfriend was in a car accident a couple of months back, and it totaled our car. And so we've had a couple of months of no car at all, and just public transport. Love catching public transport because I'm a huge podcast listener, Dave. So, like, to be able to just, like, get in my headphones all the time and, you know, on the tram is awesome. But it is kind of inconvenient.
It is kind of nice to have your own car.
Nice to know that the car. See, I don't drive the car that often. My girlfriend does. But anyway, we got a new car.
So you went shopping for a car on Saturday.
Yeah, on Saturday.
Was it love at first sight?
Not necessarily love at first sight. It was interesting because, you know, we had a friend's birthday party in the morning, and then we're like, oh, we're kind of like, we found out we had the financing, and we're kind of like, oh, okay, we'll go look.
It was a casual browse. Yeah, like, weren't hell-bent on finding love.
My girlfriend is a bit more like, yes, I'll take it right now, whereas I'm a bit like, oh, I don't know, like, maybe we should go and look at other places. But she's like, okay, well, we've got the money, and it looks like a nice car, so let's take it, like, type thing.
So was that the one that she picked out, and that
was
the one that
we
had
a type of car in mind? Like, we wanted a small car, and we wanted, you know, something that was not exactly brand new but had a CD player and, if possible, an auxiliary input, which is like
hello geeky lesbian.
Yeah. And so, you know, that was kind of the major criteria. Apart from that, we were just like, okay, well, that,
you know, the important things like mileage.
Yeah, like, you know, my girlfriend had done a research on, like, what was a good mileage to have had or whatever. And I, you know, I kind of was like, oh, well, you know, we'll just go and see. But she was just like, yes, we'll take it.
So the car she said yes to is a little shiny red Barina.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a very sensible option. And when I say sensible, I don't mean no shade.
Mm-hmm.
Sensible can be a good thing. You know, sensible means bankable. Barinas are, you know, reliable as far as I can tell.
And our old car was a Barina too, so, you know.
So it's in a family.
Yeah.
It really is in a family.
Okay, so Dave, you must feel so lucky to go and watch these shows that you would never have thought to watch ever before.
Look, I always go on the personal recommendation of a friend when it comes to TV shows because I'm quite loyal with the series that I watch.
Tune in for a Different Strokes take on television.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Dave, you've been watching X Factor, and I, as always, see it as nothing more than a trending topic on Twitter.
Yeah, Jade, you know, old habits do die hard.
Mm-hmm.
I follow the X Factor, both the Australian series and the UK version, last year very closely because I was documenting and commentating furiously on my blog.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this year, I've decided to do it again. So X Factor Australia is back for its second consecutive year on Channel 7. And this is actually the first week it's starting. So it's very fresh. And they've decided, Jade, to hit us with four audition episodes from Monday straight till Thursday.
Yep.
So it's all still happening. So far, we've only seen two episodes. I don't know, Jade. I mean, last year left a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth, if I'm honest.
Okay.
Last year's X Factor Aussie series left a bit of a bad taste.
It did kind of feel like you were sticking with it just out of some sort of loyalty.
I was sticking with it because I said I would start documenting this on a blog, I would start commentating, and I'll see it to the end. There were some great moments in last year's series, but I felt like it kind of dried up halfway through the live show phase. So there's a few big changes this year.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, they've lowered the age group to 14. Because, you know, who doesn't want to discover the next Willow Smith?
Or Justin Bieber.
Or Justin Bieber or Miley or et cetera, Disney and co.
Yeah.
So they've lowered the age group. So, and that kind of makes me feel a little sensitive about it because I did singing lessons only up to a few months ago. And, you know, I went to a lot of open mic gigs, Jade.
Mm-hmm.
So that's me, grown man
in
his 20s, singing his original. And, you know, before and after me, well, be some, you know, 12-year-olds, 14-year-olds doing Celine Dion ballads, and it's all very deep and very romantic. And
you feel like it's not fair to the adults to be competing against 14-year-olds?
Yes, I do feel that. But, you know, with X Factor, they have categories. But even the categories, it's, you know, male solo artists, female solo artists, and it's like 25s and above or 25s and under. 14 to about 24.
Yeah, it's a big difference.
It is a big difference. If you're a 24-year-old, you're competing with the next Bieber or Willow Smith.
Yep.
Is that really? I don't know.
And they can, you know, they've always got the cute factor as well, which, you know, people want to support the cute factor.
They do. And we will talk about the likability and the cute factor later on.
Mm-hmm.
But another major change, as you have probably already noticed, Jade, is X Factor Australia has two new judges.
Mm-hmm.
So there's Mel B, Scary Spice, who I love, and there's Nat Bass, Natalie Bassingthwaite from Neighbours and various other TV.
We've managed to get one of the Spice Girls here. Dave, any chance we can get the other four for that tour they've been promising?
Well, that tour that they said they were going to do and then they cancelled and said, no, it wasn't really a world tour, was it? Well, no, girl, it's not a world tour if you're going North America.
Ooh, I've set him off.
See? Why'd you do that? I mean, come on. We're never going to get Mel B on our show now because she'll be too afraid to face me. I will read her.
That is what I would like to see. I don't care about any of these other interviews. If they're not, like, they're not throwing wrath at Mel B for not coming here as part of the Spice Girls World Tour, then it's not a good interview.
You're shying away from the big questions, Molly Meldrum.
Everyone wants to know.
Everyone wants to know why Mel B and the Spice Girls didn't bring it down under. But look, she is here down under as our new X Factor judge. So I think it's refreshing to see some new faces. We've got two male judges and two female judges now. So I think it's balanced.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because I'm very aware that it's still early days with the new series, but I want to know, you guys, you know, who's been watching from Monday and yesterday, have you got a favourite contestant on X Factor that you've seen so far? Let us know.
You can text us 0427JOY949 or you can email us on air at joy.org.au.
If you're listening via the interwebs and, you know, you want to tweet us.
You can. We're at diffstrokes949. You know, lots of people like to tweet us.
Yeah, it saves money.
Yeah.
You don't have to send in a text if you don't want to.
No.
So we've seen the first two episodes of the audition so far. Well, I have. And I've kind of come to a conclusion, Jade, that Monday's kickoff episode with X Factor Australia, extremely strong. You know, for the first time, it made me think, damn, show producers know what works with Australian show talents. You know, basically, there are three kinds of contestants the show needs to succeed. There's the likable characters.
Mm-hmm.
There's the polished acts. So we're talking about the professional unsigned talent that you just go, why the hell haven't you been signed? You're amazing.
Doesn't it always turn out they had some deal at some point and it just went, you know, something happened to
them? Or they secretly still have a deal when auditioning for X Factor. Sometimes that happens, Jade, but we need to see polished acts in this competition because at the end of the day, X Factor is about finding that next big recording artist. You know, they can't all be amateurs that would just so happen to be likable. You know, we want to see some experienced performers on there. So this show needs experienced polished acts in there.
Mm-hmm.
And the third kind of contestant that X Factor needs is the diamond in the rough. We're talking about, you know, the ones that you want to see grow and take a journey through the show.
We all want the underdog.
We love the
underdog. Someone that we can relate to that seems like completely unlikely
To get it, yeah.
And then they turn in, over the journey of the show, they turn into this beautiful butterfly.
And then they win the competition.
Yeah, and then there's like a wind machine and doves and they have their big moment. And
you're describing a Beyoncé concert,
yeah,
but it's not quite the same, is it?
No.
See, last year they had the Diamond and Rough, or the character that blossomed through the series in Alty and Childs.
Mm-hmm.
He won the competition. Now, he was the only one, I felt, throughout all the live shows, he was the only character that, you know, people truly connected with on all levels.
Yeah.
You know, he was the one that people wanted to see do better. You know, when he forgot his lyrics, when he stumbled, when he was going through a personal crisis, people were rooting for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what X Factor needs. X Factor doesn't just want the next best singer. It wants a character that is engaging, someone we can talk about. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Monday's show demonstrated that they get it. They're going to serve that. So they basically bookended the first show with very likable contestants. And, you know, people want to find characters that have a bit of a life story. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the Susan Boyle factor.
The Susan Boyle factor, the Casey Donovan factor.
Was Casey Donovan really disadvantaged in any way? I mean, well, she's a young girl.
I think she had a story, though.
Did she?
Oh, because she was, like, kind of unlikely.
Oh.
She did win.
She did win. I mean, because she was likable and she had a beautiful voice.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, whether you're talking about Australian Idol or whether you're talking about X
Factor.
I always
feel like the person who, it's always the least likely person that wins. There's always the polished person and they always finish second that are the diamond in the rough. I feel like that's a given, like, that's the.
You think so?
Yeah, I think that's the story arc that happens every time.
Welcome to Different Strokes Online. Log in to hear Jade and Dave's perspectives on online media.
The internet should not be used as a high-tech babysitter. We need to make sure that when our kids surf the web, they don't drown.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Dave, I found out about this website, oh God, a couple of months ago now, and it's called Empire Avenue. And I just thought, we need to, normally as soon as I hear about something, I'm like, okay, we have to talk about this on the show right now. I don't care if it's only beta, blah, 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 you know, because we've got to be cutting edge. But this one, I was like, I need some time to digest. So basically what Empire Avenue is it's a stock market, really. It's similar to clout. So we talked about clout a couple of weeks ago, where it takes the metrics from your social media site. So it, you know, you've got your profile and you'll hook up your Twitter and your Facebook and an RSS feed from your personal blog or your LinkedIn, or and it then uses that data to
whatever
go
whatever activity you've had
yeah to go you're worth X amount of EVs, which is EVs are like this online currency, really. So I've actually, in a couple of podcasts I've been listening to, I've heard about EVs being used more widely as like a way of buying things on the internet. So instead of using cash, you effectively go ahead and buy EVs and, you know, go ahead and buy, you know, you purchase everything online. So, and that was kind of, there was this discussion about whether that would, something like that would ever outdo something like regular cash, which, you know, of course that seems unfathomable to anyone. But so Empire Avenue,
it's got its own online currency.
Yeah. And basically they'll go, okay, well, you're worth this much, and then you'll go up and down depending on your activity. And then people, then, you know, how it's different to clout, you know, clout is, it measures your activity and then goes, this is your score in these areas and these are the people that you influence and this is your areas that you're influential in. Empire Avenue uses all of those things but takes it to a different level where it says, all right, you know, I can go and see Dave's, you know, Dave's, what, how much Dave is worth in EVs, and I can go, I'm going to invest in him for 200 EVs.
So what does that mean? Because here's the situation, because I'm such an astute radio presenter, I like to research mm-hmm. a few hours before coming on air.
Yeah.
So I created an account on Empire Avenue. I have no idea what's going on, Jade. All I know is people are investing in me.
Yeah. Well, and this is the thing, right? So, and I've watched so many different little videos about Empire Avenue explained. It is seriously the type of thing, like, you know, we're always talking about on our show how we love to come up with procrastination you know, devices and places on the internet where you can procrastinate for hours. This is procrastination in a completely different level, because you're going to have to be thinking the whole time. Because
that is not procrastination.
There really is so much work that has to go into getting into Empire Avenue.
Hell to the
you
no.
have to do a lot of searching and, like, you know, just say, for example, like,
first of all, you need to understand how the stock market kind of works to get this. And that to me is, it goes against the rules of procrastination, because normally if I'm procrastinating, I'm trying not to do work and you're making me work.
Well, but it's the thinking man's procrastinating, right?
For God's sakes, play mahjong or something. I don't know. Backgammon?
Well, it's like strategy, Dave. I mean, the thing is, for you and I, like, we've talked about our Monopoly strategy before. Our Monopoly strategy is effectively the same thing. We land on something and we buy. That's not necessarily how people who are very astute at playing these type of games do it. And I feel like if you're really good at Monopoly, then maybe you'd be really good at Empire Avenue, because...
Jade, you and I are excellent at Monopoly. It works for what we want to do. Land on it, buy it.
Yeah. Well, see, and that's why I, you know, when I've played around with Empire Avenue, I've kind of done the same thing where I'll go, oh, okay, well... They're interested in the same sort of TV show that I am. I'm going to invest in them, you know.
Okay.
And I, you know, I purposely named, you can name your stock, and I've named my stock is something that's like an obscure X-Files reference, right? So don't look at me like that.
I'm rolling my eyes so hard.
And so, you know, that way I'm like attracting all the geek crowd.
Get ready for a Different Strokes take on music.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Dave, you're about to review Will Young's album Echoes, and I can say all I know of Will Young is from one or two episodes of Skins.
Oh, I didn't even know he was on Skins.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't like his character on Skins, did
no,
you?
No, he was creepy. He had like a Michael Jackson fetish. It was weird.
Just like Will Young in real life.
Yeah.
No, he's not. He seems like a genuinely nice, lovable, sophisticated gay.
I didn't get that vibe at all.
Really? No. Well, he was playing a character after all, and he must have been a pretty...
That means he's a good actor then, Dave.
He's a good actor. Will Young's a good actor. So the story with Will Young is that, you know, for a lot of you out there who don't know, because really he hasn't had a proper hit in Australia ever.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in the game for 9 years. He won Pop Idol back in 2002.
It's like the original, right?
Yeah, it's like Idol original version, like beta version Idol even. So he won that episode 9 years ago, and he's always had a great track record in terms of putting out music, having it sell favorably. I mean, this album Echoes is his fifth studio album, and it debuts straight in at number one this week. You know, this is the kind of longevity people on, say, X Factor or, you know, whichever franchise, The Voice.
Mm-hmm.
This is the kind of longevity you dream about.
Yep.
You know, we've got Guy Sebastian here, who was the winner from our original Idol series. He's doing great as well. So maybe it's that connection and that fan base. And it just kind of, you know, you either fall off the bandwagon in the first 12 months or you live forever.
Yeah.
It seems.
Maybe it's easier with the first one.
It's, I don't know, it's like the firstborn. It's always special, isn't it? Can we say that? Yeah, we, you know, the first finalists of any talent show, we're always going to latch on, aren't we?
Well, it's, you know, I think it's like, it's particularly with reality shows, I think, you know, season after season, they just kind of...
They lose their sheen a little.
Yeah.
And, you know, Idol, the Idol franchise was exciting back then. A lot of people were watching.
Yeah.
But it's great to see that Will Young still got it after 9 years. Every album he's put out has either gone number one or number two. The sound with Echoes, though, I have to say, is a little bit of a departure from the kind of music that he normally makes. So Will's quite known for, you know, the traditional kind of blue-eyed soul and adult contemporary stuff, you know, good, nice, sensible pop that your nana would like and, you know.
Like Boyzone or something.
Oh, no, nothing cheesy. It's sophisticated.
Okay.
It's sophisticated, Jade. Come on.
Ronan Keating.
No, come on. Why? Don't drag us through the mud. Not me and Will. We're not going down like
my
this.
My nan listens to Daniel O'Donnell. That, like, a reference like that.
What is a Daniel O'Donnell?
Daniel O'Donnell is like this Irish singer.
Oh, my God. What? Yeah. Stop. And doesn't your mum listen to Neo?
Not, well, my mum has interesting
yeah, maybe
eclectic
that's where,
taste that where include Usher and Neo include and also, you know, maybe some Boyzone or yeah.
That Boyzone gene better not be, you know, passed down from generation to generation because I will not have Boyzone on Different Strokes.
You know that my only weakness for boy bands is New Kids.
New Kids on the Block. Yeah. But basically, Will Young's album Echoes is a bit of a departure from that sophisticated kind of nan pop.
Mm-hmm.
Lush, you know, it's really lush, sophisticated dance pop now. So it's not like the biggest stretch.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of fans were initially worried when, you know, word got out that Will Young's going in a more dance pop direction.
Okay.
They thought, oh, damn, somebody's going to go four to the floor, kind of getting crunk in a club business. Thankfully, he's a little more dignified. He didn't go that way. So yep. This one, Echoes, actually feel more like a chill out album. So I think if you like easy listening music with a bit of a dance electro influence, you're going to love it. He worked with Richard X, who has produced stuff for Annie and Sugar Babes and Sophie Ellis Bextor. So, you know, there's that element of that. If you're a fan of Richard X work, you're going to love it. Some highlights from Will Young's album is, the lead single, Jealousy, which debuted at number 5 in the UK this week. That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really sums up the album beautifully. It's got this lush dance pop feeling. You know, I'm not afraid to say that it's probably one of the few songs that actually have a pulse. It's not a bad thing. Look, yeah. I like Echoes as an album. I think it's definitely top 10 album of the year for me.
Yep.
But it's not an album where you go, track 1, track 5, track 7, track 13 is great. You know, it's just, it plays really well as
a set. It's just like a cohesive thing.
It's a cohesive thing. And we've always talked about this on Different Strokes. What do we like?
Mm-hmm.
Do we like albums with standout tracks that don't necessarily mesh? Or do we like cohesion?
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a cohesive mood right now.
Okay.
So I'm loving this whole album as a collection. Another standout track on the album is called I Just Want a Lover. It's very different from anything else on the album. It's sexy. It's got his chilled vocals over this mischievous disco bass line. And it's just so effortlessly sexy. Like, it's not sleazy, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's still classy. And I feel that even though he's gone dance or whatnot, it still fits with his brand. And that's so important to not shock your fans like that.
Yep.
Because you don't want all your loyal fans for like 9 years to suddenly drop
go,
off.
What's this?
Yeah, you don't want them to just pop off when you decide to, you know, hit the clubs.
Mm-hmm.
So good on you, Will Young. You've done the right thing.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.